It's time to turn your daydream into your dream job. Wix gives you the power to turn your passion into a moneymaker with a website that fits your unique vision and drives you towards your goals. Let your ideas flow with AI tools that guide you, but give you full control and flexibility. Manage your business from one dashboard and keep it growing with built-in marketing features. Get everything you need to turn your part-time passion into a full-time business. Go to Wix.com.
My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa, HS, for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa, HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentyx.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
30 years ago, ordering an Irish whiskey in a pub was a very simple process. You probably just had a choice between four or five whiskies to choose from. But in the last 20 years, we've seen an explosion in the whiskey business here, with exclusive whiskies being offered in particular and in big demand. There's some rare bottles selling for hundreds, if not thousands of euros. So for this week's industry review, I wanted to look at the growth of a thing called the whiskey bar, the idea of having a separate bar within a pub tailored to the needs of Irish whiskey fanatics. Joining me to discuss this now is in studio Willie Ahern, who's the owner of the Palace Bar in Dublin, Ona Cahan, who is the director of the Irish Whiskey Association, and joining us on the line is Michael Casey, manager of the Harbour Bar in Downing's County Donegal. Willie, I'm going to start with you if I can, please, because the first time I ever heard of a whiskey bar was when the Palace Bar, who many people will be familiar with, very famous bar in Dublin, lots of locals, but lots of visitors. The first time I'd ever heard of it was when you were opening one. What exactly is a whiskey bar, and why did you decide at that time to do it?
Morning, Mandy. It was probably, it was early 2000s, 2000, that we really started making a big emphasis on Irish whiskey. And we started building up our different range of Irish whiskies and got really behind it. It was probably 2010, 2011, where we have our fine little bar upstairs, and we decided to really make the whole feature about Irish whiskey. Like, you walked in, it was, we named it Whiskey Palace, and you walked in and it was cabinets of every Irish whiskey in existence, or every old bottle we could get our hands on. Now, you could still get a pint up there, but the emphasis was very much so on Irish whiskey. So you were immersed in it. It was like basically Aladdin's cave for Irish whiskey.
And had you been collecting yourself? Was it something that you personally were interested in?
Yeah, ever since probably the late 90s, early 2000s, I started developing a graph for it. Between trips over to Edinburgh as a young fella playing a bit of rugby, and I used to love old school bars, and some of the bars in Edinburgh, what they were doing, you'd walk in and they'd have 300-400 scotches on their shelves, and I always thought it looked fabulous. And then early 2000s, on a trip to Kilbeggan and a talk with John Cashman, who worked for Cooley at the time, and he gave basically a really passionate the history of Irish whiskey, and I was just blown away by it, and it just really ignited something in me. Just, you know, where it has come full circle in terms of, you know, back in the 1800s, Irish whiskey was the toast of the aristocrats around the world. It was, you know, in the States, it was huge. And then, you know, it was probably close to 100 distilleries in Ireland. It was a huge part to play in the Liberties in Dublin. There was numerous distilleries there. And then over time, events between us getting our independence and the trade war with the UK and maybe losing out in Commonwealth countries, prohibition in the States had a huge impact on Irish whiskey. And from top of our game. We went down the pecking order, and probably as well, we didn't modernise at the time as well, whereas the Scotch whisky industry did. And it had an awful impact on Irish whisky right through into the 70s, where we were really on we were really on its knees. And to me, it just garnered something in me, and the attempt, probably the nationalistic thing as well, kind of, you know, to get Irish whisky and to be at the forefront of it in the palace.
Yeah, Owen, like as Willie talks there about the evolution of Irish whisky is fascinating and almost symbiotic with our history. But looking at some of the statistics from your organisation, €1 billion in exports last year. What I wanted to ask you was, what do you think explains the success of Irish whisky in the last 20 years?
So, yeah, I mean, as Willie said, and said it very passionately, I think described it excellently. There's been a huge growth. In particular, in the last 25 years, so if you look, or the last 15 years, I should say, 2010, there were 4 working distilleries on the island of Ireland. Now there are over 50. But there's a number, I suppose, of building blocks to that. So first and foremost, Irish whiskey is a geographical indication, which means that if it says Irish whiskey on the label, you know it's been made in Ireland. We also, since in 1997, to get down to the nitty gritty of it in trade, all tariffs were removed from when going over to the US in particular, which was our biggest, which was and is our biggest market. And that, I think, facilitated, I think, a growth in Irish whiskey. But I think in particular in the last 20 to 25 years, what you've seen is the Irish whiskey distillers, the bar owners, the consumers have taken a real pride in the product. And I think that's really what's been the catalyst for this growth. All the foundations, let's say, were laid. But it was really when Irish people started taking a greater interest in the in this premium product, in this product that we've had for over 700 years. And really started looking into the story of Irish whiskey, how each distillery is unique. I think that's really when we saw it all starting to change. And Willie mentioned the Liberties there. I think it was 10 years ago that the first distillery was reopened in Dublin. That was Teeling's in the Liberties. I live in the Liberties myself. It's a great place to be. It used to be the Golden Triangle, where, you know, I think most of the premium whiskey in the world was produced at the turn of the 20th century. To see that growth again, you've a number of distilleries there. And of course, then you've Guinness as well, which is the big brewing house. But it's all playing into that sense of national identity, which I think people have really caught on to. And that's what's powered the growth.
Yeah, and Teeling's has really brought some vibrancy to that whole area, hasn't it? You know,
yeah,
and it's
sure.
great to see that happening. And Michael, I'll bring you in here now if I can. Michael joining us from Downing's, the beautiful Downing's in Donegal. People might not be so familiar with the Harbour Bar, Michael. So tell us a little bit about the bar itself and why you decided to get into this whiskey bar territory now.
Yeah, hiya, Mandy. How are you getting on? Well, the bar itself, it sits here in a small little peninsula in Roskill, you know, overlooking the wonderful Sheephaven Bay. My family have had the bar now for well over 40 years. And it recently just trends have started to shift up in this area. You know, not like the major cities of I suppose, the country. We probably didn't get tourism and international tourism as readily as what the major cities did. But only in recent years now, we've started to see the tourism shift up here. We're starting to get a lot more international trade. And with that, the interest in product has changed as well. Before, it was just beer. It was your bog standard whiskies. It was your bog standard spirits. But now there's an interest now in the premium side of things as well. So we started to accumulate and collect bottles of whiskey for the last 20 years. My dad just kind of gathered them, but had nothing to do with them. And when this kind of this market started to shift and people started to take more pride in the whiskies, we said, look, we might start doing something with all this whiskey that we've kind of collected. So myself, my brother and my dad decided we'll dedicate a bit of time to our room upstairs and create a new whiskey lounge completely dedicated towards the premium Irish spirit that is Irish whiskey.
Mm. And who are your customers then? What type of clientele are you looking for? Where do you get your customer base from?
Well, primarily now, Downing's is built up off tourism completely. Before it was fishing industry, but now it's 99.9% tourism. With that, before it would have been primarily northern customers that would have came down here. But with the introduction of new golf courses that have opened down here, we're starting to see a shift with more Americans and Europeans, German, Spanish, starting to land into the area in their busloads. In the last number of years, So as I said, they don't want to come in and maybe just sample a couple of beers. They want to maybe go to that next level.
Mm.
That is the premium spirit whiskey.
Willie, do you see this? Obviously, we have a lot more American tourists bouncing around Dublin. Do you see that where Michael's talking about that demand for more kind of luxury quality strategy of product that they're looking for?
Yeah, I do. You know, this day and age, the world is a small place. So, you know, in the States, you do have a huge range of Irish whiskies, but we're still lucky here. We've some limited or some single cask whiskies in Dublin. And I find visitors, they're very much willing to try and sample something that they can't get at home.
Mm-hmm.
I think that experience is, you know, and to be able to talk, like we do numerous single casks in the palace with different distilleries around the country. And it's a story to be able to give them. It's say there's only 300 bottles of these, and you know we would have selected this whiskey myself and the staff, and we would have you know, to be able to give them that, and we would have labelled a few the bottles or stuff,
this
things
your
like
own
that.
Whiskey. Yeah. So it's a palace whiskey now.
Yeah, in conjunction with say Dingle or Powers Court or Teeling's or Middleton. You know.
Yeah. And that's, you see a lot of that, Owen, don't you? Like these whiskey bars that are. Coming up now, partnering with the big houses. That's working for both of them, really.
I think, yeah, I think they see it as being mutually beneficial. As Willie has said, I think a lot of people are looking for the unique experience. Mm-hmm. And it's not just American visitors. I think this is something that we notice as we move into the newer and emerging markets, the likes of India, the world's biggest whiskey market. You know, whenever we meet with people who come over, what they want is they want to be able to say, look at this whiskey that I have that nobody else has got their hands on. This is something that is unique to me. And, you know, I remember we had a presentation which was organized by Borbia talking about Nigeria. And again, one of the fastest growing whiskey markets in the world. And as the lady said, when you go into the club, you want to be the baller. You want to have the whiskey that no one else has. So again, this is modernizing, I guess, the whiskey sector and showing there's so many aspects to it now. You know, mm-hmm. It's not just the 1, 2, 3, the traditional whiskies. There's so many different innovations coming on. There's over 100 different innovations of Irish whiskey every year. And as we tailor ourselves to new markets as well, then that brings with it new iterations, I suppose, of the classic Irish whiskey.
Yeah. Michael, we talk a lot about the product, but now maybe turn to the aesthetics, the surroundings. Like, what is a whiskey bar? What do you need to make it authentically an Irish whiskey bar? How did you go about doing that?
Well, we didn't do too much out of the norm. The building itself here is over 250 years old, so I think we can play on that character very strongly and very easily to start off. You know, it was just things we accumulated over time, and you're kind of just putting them on display and, you know, just paying homage to things of the past that kind of were lost in time for a while. And if you plaster those on the wall and, you know, give it a nice colour, a nice wooden bar, and then display your whiskies promptly to showcase the actual product that you have, you know, from your range of red breasts, your spots, or whether it's a rare series, or you're displaying your local whiskies. I think it's all just about the display and making it a unique display that catches the eye if you walk into a whiskey bar.
Willie, I think yourself and Michael both have one thing in common, is that you have an old bar that's well established, already very authentic and well established. Do you see something like the whiskey bar taking off in an Irish whiskey bar taking off in a more global sense, that we might come to see the reproductions in the same way we've seen Irish pubs reproduced all over the world?
I think you've started to see that already. Like on the shelves of bars around the world now, there's such a more diverse range of Irish whiskies, say, compared to 15, 20 years ago. You know, I've been in bars in the States and that, and there is special sections, especially for Irish whiskey, like Francis Tavern there in Manhattan. They have a special little whiskey section to it. Yeah, I definitely, it's a lovely feature of a house, and it's nice if you want to more sit back and then sample a few nice little whiskies in a nice surrounding, easygoing surrounding.
And it is that, isn't it? Like, we're seeing a reduction in the amount of consumption, Owen, of alcohol products, and people going for that kind of quality over quantity now.
Sure.
So maybe moving more towards savouring something.
Exactly, yeah. So, I mean, that's the trend of premiumisation, which again has greatly benefited Irish whiskey, all spirits categories, really, where you see people, I suppose, choose to drink less, but to drink better. And again, a product such as Irish whiskey, because it has that premium quality to it, will always benefit from something like that. So as you mentioned there, if you look at consumption in Ireland, it's dropped by almost 30% in the past 20 years. But the value of our sector has never been higher.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, something that I think everyone can be very happy with. And that, again, it plays to the strengths of premium categories like Irish whiskey. And as Willie says, I think we've already seen it happen not only in, let's say, the US, which was traditionally always, you know, our best friend, I suppose. But now you're seeing it crop up again in places like China, Hong Kong, across these new emerging markets, where I think the success of the years of the centuries to come will surely be found. I think it's something that we really need to pursue.
Well, in a novel departure, we're getting lots of questions in from you, would you believe it or not? Got a bottle of Red Spot for my 40th birthday. Amazing. I finally got why some people really like whiskey. Danny, but a question from him also. Why does whiskey take so long to come to fruition?
Good question. Well, I suppose to call it an Irish whiskey, it has to be matured for at least 3 years. But again, it's all about that exclusivity. I think there's a number of distillers who want to, you know, to keep the liquid in the cask, and that will all go down to the blend, to the taste. And of course, then, I mean, the longer it's in the cask, the more valuable it is when it goes into the bottle.
Michael, what you're just starting off now. What type of events have you had or are you planning for the whiskey bar in the Harbour Bar?
Yeah, so yeah, we're fresh to start here. So as we're kind of learning the ropes in a way. To kind of begin with, we started up a whiskey club, kind of primarily based around the locals in the area and anybody else who's welcome to kind of join. And what we're doing there, we're working with brands, we're working with distilleries, local and, you know, within the country to more or less come up, showcase their product and get people talking and sampling their whiskies. You know, there's no better way to expose Irish people, especially to these whiskies, than letting them come, taste, try, smell, and learn a little bit about the product.
Mm.
On top of that as well, me and a few of the barmen here will look to host our own whiskey nights, primarily looking towards the international tourism that comes here. Hopefully they'll come and we'll be able to host tasting, nosing sessions with them. And once again, it's to expose them to this premium brand that we have.
Willie, just Michael starting off there now, you've obviously been at this a long time. Are you glad you took this departure? Has it been a success for the Harbour Bar? What advice would you give to them?
Yeah, like probably we kind of started on this journey early 2000. And yeah, it has added a great string to our bow in the palace. Like, you know, definitely it's a lovely feature during the day. If you have a few visitors in, or we've many clubs hold tastings upstairs. The Dublin Fire Brigade have their tastings upstairs once a month, and we've many different releases and stuff like that. But it's it sets you apart, I think, from other houses as well to have good tastings and good selection of whiskey and knowledgeable staff. You know, you can never have enough knowledge. Like, every day is a learning day. But it's great to be able to visitors and to be able to give them the background on a distillery, or even to tell them about the history of Irish whiskey. Like, you know, it's I find it fascinating, and I think they do as well.
Mm. A small word, Owen, before we wrap up on the tariffs issue, which is obviously something that we are all very conscious of for your industry. We saw this week that the bourbon products are listed on the retaliatory list for the EU. Government still hoping to have that excluded. How concerned would you be about those figures that we see now being implemented? What effect would it have?
Well, I think the announcement that came from Brussels this week was simply that. It was an announcement, so there's no tariffs currently being enforced. I think it shows the reality of where we are. You know, the EU had to respond to the US imposing that tariff, the 10% that we now face going in there. But what I am very confident of is the determination of both the European Commission and the Irish government to find a deal.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been really heartened by the consultation, the communication we've had from them. We know that they're searching for a deal, and we know that the zero for zero, so that tariff-free environment, that's what's really being pursued. That will work best for the members. For the 47 companies that I represent, many of whom see the US as their biggest export market. And that's something that we need to to really prioritise in the next few months. There's currently a 10% tariff, and people say, oh, sure, wasn't 200% threatened. This must be easy for you. Mm-hmm. That still represents tens of thousands in every batch that's going across the Atlantic that those producers have to pay. And ultimately, if we want to see Irish whiskey continue to have the success, to continue to release all these innovations, to reach the consumers all over the world, what we need to do is we need to go back to that tariff-free environment. But look, there's still time. We have until July 14th, until this pause ends, and we're hoping that the negotiations will succeed.
Absolutely, and where there's life, there's hope, isn't exactly. That what they say?
And there's whiskey.
There's whiskey. Listen, it's a fascinating industry, and thank you all very much for taking the time to come in and talk to us about that today. That was Willie Ahern, owner of the Palace Bar here in Dublin, Ona Cahan, director of the Irish Whiskey Association, and Michael Casey, manager of the Harbour Bar up in the beautiful Downings, all joining us for that.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.
So you've got a business, but what about a brand? The difference? More of you. Wix gives you the freedom to create your website, own your brand, and do it on your own, exactly how you envisioned it. Experience limitless customization. Boost your creativity and efficiency with AI tools for every part of your business journey. Scale up with built-in SEO, e-com, and scheduling features. Put more of you in your business. Go to Wix.com and do it all yourself.